All right, grab your Bibles, and I think you might know where to turn, but if not, find your way to Exodus chapter 15, Exodus the 15th chapter. And we've been doing a mini-series that we started last Wednesday night, and then we also dealt with it this Sunday morning, and we're doing it again this Wednesday night. Exodus chapter 15, and I want you to look at verse 22 down through verse 26, Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 down through verse 26 this evening. It states, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord, that's Jehovah, that healeth, that's Rapha, thee. God here is saying, I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm the God who heals. And yet, I'm speaking tonight again on this subject, the myths of divine healing, part 3. Let's get some help. Father, thank you tonight that you are Jehovah Rapha. Father, thank you for being a God who can heal. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're a God who can provide. And Father, on and on we can go. We're so thankful, Father, that you're a God who can meet all of our needs, touch us where we need to be touched. And Father, again, we do want to thank you for sending your son Jesus down the cross for our sins and to save our soul and have a place prepared for us in heaven with you. And so, Father, we are so thankful for that tonight. But then, Father, I ask in a special way that you would help me tonight. Father, please, as I already prayed, Father, move me out of myself. And Father, I pray that you give me liberty again. And Father, help me to be able to expose some things that's in the body that I know you're not pleased with. So, Father, please take full control right now. Do what only you can do. And, Father, we'll be careful to give you the praise, honor, and the glory. Save any that's lost. Help every believer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. As I've already told you, this is the third message in this mini-series that we've been doing on the myths of divine healing. And in case you weren't here, and even if you were here, just a refresher, and I'm not going to re-preach it tonight, but I'll at least give you the major points. In message number 1, the first myth that we dealt with was all sickness comes from the devil. That's a myth. God put some things on you. We showed you that. And then we also dealt with all sickness is a direct consequence of sin, or you are backslidden, or you don't have enough faith. And so we showed you from the Word of God how that is also a myth. We know that some sickness is a direct result of sin. We understand that. But all sickness is not a direct result of sin, or you're backslidden, or you don't have enough faith. And then, that was in the first message. In message number 2 this past Sunday, I dealt with the fact that Jesus died on the cross for your sicknesses. That's what they say. And that's a myth. He died for your sins. And we covered that, and we showed you how healing was not in the atonement. And so now, tonight, I'm going to deal with something that, I mean, it's raking in millions of dollars and has been for a number of years. And I don't want us to fall prey to it. I don't want you to have a sickness or something come on your body. And maybe you feel like God is not moving fast enough, and so then you fall prey to this and go in this direction. And then also, you may be able to help somebody else out in your own family or somebody you might be able to come across who might be caught up in what I'm going to deal with tonight. I'm only dealing with one myth tonight, one myth, and here it is. Here's the myth. Here's what they say. There are anointed handkerchiefs and cloths today. That's what people say. They say there are anointed handkerchiefs and cloths today. Now, am I the only one who've heard something like that? If you have, just slip your hand high. All right, so we've got hands all over this building practically. If you haven't heard about it, then you will tonight. But many preachers on television and those who even aren't on television believe this. And what they're doing is they're using the Bible, twisting it, not improperly interpreting it, and fleecing people, robbing from people, stealing from people, all in the name of Jesus. And their major passage will come from the book of Acts, and I will deal with that in just a little bit. And sometimes you may think that I'm very harsh in some of my statements. Well, I see you shaking your head. I appreciate that. Amen. But just in case, there may be one or two. But you may think that I'm harsh. But see, you haven't walked the same path that I've walked, maybe. But like I told you, I know what it's like to study with the charismatics for a year when they were just getting off the ground, really. And when I was a young Christian, didn't know a whole lot. I knew enough to get out of it, but I didn't know a whole lot. But I know what it's like. Because see, some things you see on television, but you don't see those things that are behind the scenes. You don't see when they're trying to teach you how to speak in tongues. You don't see where I've had people gathered around me, and I'm sitting in someone's house at a Bible study, and they're laying their hands on me trying to get me to see a vision. You understand what I'm saying? There are a lot of things out there that are not right. And I think that we need to expose some of those things so that we don't get caught up in it. And see, anytime you're dealing with the book of Acts, and I've got to set this up right. Anytime you're dealing with the book of Acts, you have to understand the book of Acts is a transitional book. You're literally transitioning from the Judaistic practices to present-day Christianity. And so, and I've said this a number of times, but if you start trying to arrange a systematic, orderly diagram of theological doctrine from the book of Acts without knowing how to interpret the book of Acts, you're going to be as confused as a termite in a wooden yo-yo. And there are a lot of people out there today that are confused. They're confused. They're confused about how you receive the Holy Spirit without interpreting the book of Acts in the context of the entire Bible. And you have some who will take a passage of scripture and take it and twist it and try to use it for their own gain and their own profit. And so we need to understand some things that's going on in our society. And one thing that people are saying today is that they are anointed handkerchiefs and they are anointed cloths. By the way, that's not the only thing that they're saying. You've got many. I'll just name a few. One of them is Jim Whittington. I'm sure if you've been around long enough, you've heard of Jim Whittington. Well, Jim Whittington, he said that they are anointed handkerchiefs, and also he sells his blessed coins. Once he blesses it, you can get it and get a breakthrough and opening and all of that kind of stuff. This is Sam Jim Whittington. By the way, he's on television. You'll see him. Okay, you can see him. So he's on television. This is the Sam Jim Whittington that in 1992 was convicted for 10 years and spent 2 years and some months in prison. Say, why? Because he took some money, persuaded a lady that was in Florida to give her house to their ministry, and then to give $696,000 to their ministry. With her house and with the money that she gave, he received a little over $931,000, and then he turned around and appropriated it for himself. And, of course, he was indicted. He served 2 years and some months out of the 10 years. and he still hadn't learned anything. He was supposed to pay the money back. He had only paid by 2005, he had only paid back a little over $18,000 of the money to the lady's estate. The lady probably, and I don't know this part for sure, I'm just surmising this, the lady probably was dealing with some kind of serious illness because she died just like 3 years after he was convicted. She just died. So, you know, and so she probably was dealing with some kind of sickness or illness. I don't know that part for sure. I'm just surmising that from what transpired. And you say, why would you say that? Because there's something in the Bible that Satan said in the book of Job, the second chapter. And I quoted a little bit last week. He said, skin for skin. All that a man hath will he give for his life. And so if some type of person can think, hey, if I can give this, if I can sow this, if I give you this, then I can be healed. And it looked like as if they may not make it. Then sometimes if they don't know better, they'll do something like that. But be that as it may, for whatever reason, he got nearly $1 million, $931,000 from that lady, 71-year-old widow. Widow in Florida. I have her name. I could call it out right now, but I won't. And then you have Marilyn Hickey and her daughter Sarah. You can still see them. They're still there. She believes in her blessed handkerchiefs, her blessed water, her blessed oil, and even her blessed chopsticks. I'm serious. That's pitiful. Then you've got, well, he died in 2009, but you have Reverend Ike. You can't lose with the stuff I use. Y'all remember Reverend Ike? Some of you been around for a while. You know the crazy thing about Reverend Ike? Remember he used to have them prayer cloths? I was carrying one of them around in my wallet. Back in the 70s. You can't lose with the stuff I use. So my mother sent some money into him, and he sent her some prayer cloths. She gave me one. She said, put that in your wallet. So you have money in your wallet. You keep that in there. I kept it in there and stayed broke. The only one who got money out of that was Reverend Ike. Stayed broke. You've heard my testimony. 114 pounds as a senior in high school. Had to fend for whatever food I could get. I suppose that blessing's flowing all around. Only way the blessing was flowing was to him. He'd get on red. Hey, he said, these cars right here, he said, you all bought them for me. Said, these rings here that way, you all bought them for me. Reverend Ike died in 2009, July. That's him. Well, let me go ahead and I done dealt with a few of the little fish. I see a big trout swimming in the water. So let me go ahead and deal with a big trout. Oh, I'm going to get to the scripture in a second, and we'll get out on time. But, you know, you got to build it up. Because sometimes you may say something you think a person will know what they're talking about. So I just got to, you know how it is. You got to line up a line. You got to build your case, just like a defense attorney would. There's a big one up there in Ohio. His name is Rod Parsley from the World Harvest Church there in Ohio. He had something that went on in his church. As a matter of fact, it wasn't just in his church, it was worldwide. I'm talking about worldwide, not because of satellite, worldwide. By the way, bragging about it too. And I have something that I just printed off, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, request your prayer cloth from the Worldwide Miracle Healing and Victory Prayer Cloth Service. It says, request your prayer cloth now. On November 10th, I took your prayer request to Calvary. Reinhard Bonnke and I believed together, along with hundreds of thousands of believers, for your miracle. This Worldwide Miracle Healing and Victory Prayer Cloth Service was 2 years in the making. 2 years ago, God was already speaking to me about your complete victory. Don't miss out. Yes, the anointing is tangible, and it is transferable. The Apostle Paul proved it, and we're going to deal with that in a little bit. Now you can experience it, and it all begins with your seed of faith. You can still write out your most urgent prayer requests using the online prayer form. So Pastor Parsley can pray for your prayer requests along with hundreds of thousands of prayer warriors at World Harvest Church. Reinhard and Pastor Parsley have prayed for you and over your anointed prayer cloth. Pastor Parsley wants to send you a prayer cloth from that service, full of the anointing that can transform your life. In other words, once you get this prayer cloth, and by the way, you can't go and get your own. Now you can't go because they'll say if you read further on the site that just a prayer cloth, that's not gonna get it, see? So you just can't go buy your own handkerchief. See, it's got to have the anointing. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the anointing has to come from you. You got it. All right, let me keep reading. All right, here it is. It said, and by the way, if you want your life transformed, get your prayer cloth. What did it say? Okay, include your very best seed. Notice they started taking words like seed and sowing because they said, get all the money you can get and send it to me. That doesn't sound good. You understand what I'm saying? So now you got to say, sow your best seed. Sown in faith for the release of God's miracle working power in your life. And Pastor Parsley will also send you his brand new book, The Cross, One Man, One Tree, One Friday, plus a beautiful laser engraved wooden cross bookmark for your Bible. Receive the tangible transfers of God's anointing for your miracle. Request your prayer cloth and sow your seed of faith today. Yes, Pastor Parsley. Now here's the part where you can fill out. I want the tangible, transferable anointing of God's Spirit in my life. I'm believing God for my miracle. Please send me an anointed prayer cloth from the altar. And then it has three blocks to check. Block number one, you can dot it. I am giving my generous gift. Please send me your book, The Cross, One Man, One Tree, One Friday, and a Bible bookmark in addition to an anointed prayer cloth from the altar. Check number two. You can go, if you don't want to go that route, go this route. I am giving $75 or more. Please send me the autographed book, the Bible bookmark, the study guide, and the three-message DVD set in addition to an anointed prayer cloth from the altar. But if you don't want one of those two, we got a third one. Here's the third one. I wish to submit my prayer request only. Send me an anointed prayer cloth from the altar. Then it's got today's amount, U.S. dollars to be charged today, and you can put a little block right there and put just how much money you want. And I guess how much money you give, depending on how much anointing you can receive. So see, you've got to sow a generous gift. You've got to give a good gift. Well, he said God told him. The Bible talks about people saying God said and he hadn't said. All right, let's look at the scripture that they use. Here's the scripture. Go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. I don't want you to get caught up in that craziness. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. I want you to notice verse 11 and verse number 12. Acts chapter 19, notice verse 11 and verse number 12. And by the way, if you want to try to prove something, you can hunt long enough to try to find a Bible verse, take it out of context, not interpret it within the context of Scripture, and also in the time of God's dealing with people, and take it out of context and formulate any kind of doctrine you want to have. The Bible says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You can leave that first part out and just say there is no God. You can take an atheist who can take the Bible, and then he can try to twist that first part and say something to the effect of, well, that wasn't in the original, which it was, but I'm just saying, he can say that. But now this latter part was, there is no God. See, right here the Bible says there is no God. You see, that's crazy. Well, what people are doing today is crazy. When they're isolating the scriptures. All right, look at Acts chapter 9. I know it's verse 11 and verse number 12. Here you go. Watch this. And God wrought special miracles. You ought to underline that word special. Miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, one of the keys to use to unlock this verse, and we're going to really dissect it and give you a full viewing of this verse. We're going to look at other scriptures, and then we're going to look at some things logically. But the key to unlock these two verses is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, where it says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. See, the Jews always wanted a sign to prove that the person was truly a man of God. And so they wanted to see signs. They wanted to see miracles. Notice St. John chapter 2. Notice St. John chapter 2. And I want you to notice verse 13 down through verse number 19. St. John chapter 2. And I want you to notice verse 13 down through verse number 19. And when when the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the chargers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And the disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, now he's coming in, he's messing with their money, he's turned over things and running things out. Now watch this. What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And of course we know he was talking about the temple of his body. Notice verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name. Why? When they saw the miracles which he did. And so miracles authenticated the Lord before the people, caused them to believe. The Jews require a sign. Notice St. John chapter 3, notice verse 1 and verse number 2. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Just his words alone was not going to get it. What authenticated him before the Jewish people was the fact that he did miracles. Miracles. St. John chapter 6. And notice verse 28 down through verse number 30. St. John chapter 6, notice verse 28 down through verse number 30. It says, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, all right, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? The Jews required a sign. before they would believe. Anytime there's some doubt going on, they want to see a sign. Matter of fact, at one point, Jesus said, you know something, I'm going to give you another sign, except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. You remember that. All right, notice Acts chapter 2 and notice verse 22. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. All right, you'll recognize Acts chapter 2 as the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. And remember when they were there on the day of Pentecost, remember there was even a little confusion about what's going on. Man, we're hearing some things in our own language. You know, what's going on here? All right, watch this. Now it's time for some preaching to happen. Acts chapter 2, notice verse 22. All right, you know who's doing the preaching. It says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. Okay? How? By miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Peter up here preaching, and Peter's saying, you know something? He said, you know that God validated him before you through miracles and signs. Well, you know that. And yet you went ahead and crucified him. That's why later on, well, they got pricked in the heart. They knew that they were guilty. See, the Jews required a sign. Look at Acts chapter 5 and notice verse 12 down through verse 16. Acts chapter 5, notice verse 12 down through verse number 16. It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest doth no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch, watch this, that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Isn't it amazing that Peter didn't start an anointed shadow ministry? You see it right here in the text. Isn't it amazing that he didn't do that? And you ever wondered, I wonder why they don't have an anointed shadow ministry today. Because you walk up like this, straighten me out, and you get in the shadow, something got to happen. You understand what I'm saying? You can send the prayer cloth anywhere. You understand what I'm saying? Go back now. Now keep this in mind. All right, remember this. The Jews required a sign. I've given you enough scripture. I could give you others, but that's enough to build the case. Notice now, go back to Acts chapter 19. And let's see if there's any Jews around that, and there seems to be some confusion. They need to believe something. They have some questions. Notice Acts chapter 19, and now notice verse 8 down through verse number 10. Acts chapter 19, verse 8 down through verse number 10, before we get to verse 11 and 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers, various ones of them, were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way. That way is talking about Christ, the way. Before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. Watch this. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. All right, so some of the Jews didn't believe. So now God is going to once again authenticate his messenger. Notice now verse 11 and verse number 12, and we're going to break this down. Notice verse number 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Now, as I said, we're going to dissect this. When you have the word special here, this was a one-time work in which God, that God did in his life. This word special only appears one time in the entire New Testament. One time, that's here. This word special means highly unusual. If you have a good study Bible, you ought to have the word unusual somewhere in your margin if you have a good study Bible for the word special. If you will look up in your Strong's Concordance, here is a word that you will find, extraordinary. And so this was a highly unusual, extraordinary thing that happened in the life of Paul to authenticate him. This was not the norm. This is not how God normally works. But just like, and I could go back to the other passage, but there's always where a person has to be authenticated where you have the Jews. That's why people want to focus in on speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost. Do you know that there is another time, and I won't deal with it tonight, but another time when God allowed a group to speak in tongues back then just so that he could validate the very fact that the others had received the Holy Spirit, the Gentiles, just like they did. And those who know the scriptures understand that. And I don't want to leave too much hanging, but what I'm saying is that God would use signs to authenticate a man or a message. And so now this was a special thing in the life of Paul, and it never happened in Paul's life ever again. It never happened to anybody else ever. This was a one-time unique thing. Now watch this. Notice verse number 12. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. The word handkerchiefs or aprons in the Greek, it literally means sweat cloth or towel, would be used for wiping perspiration in that hot eastern sun. And in those buildings, many times when they had no air. Isn't it amazing that even the ones who try to give you your anointed cloths, that they don't have any sweat on them? Do you understand what I'm saying? You see where I'm going with this? And I'm going to keep right on going with it. The word brought is a very interesting word. The word brought, you will find that word over 130 times in the New Testament. But the Greek word that we have for the word brought here is only used two times in the New Testament. Once in this passage for brought, and the next time in Acts chapter 25 and verse number 18, where an accusation was brought against Paul. Okay? So now, why do I emphasize that? And why do I say, well, it was only used here and only used there, because that's true. And the word literally means to bear upon, to inflict, to take. Paul did not start an anointed handkerchief or apron ministry. What they got was taken from him. Just like the one was taken from him and brought to the others. It's a connecting word. just like the woman who had the issue of blood. And she said, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. Correct? All right. How many other people in the New Testament touched the hem of Jesus' garment and was healed? Okay, all right, you've got it. There are things, and by the way, Jesus did not start an anointed hem-touching ministry. He didn't send anointed hems to people. There are things that will happen one time in the Bible. Unusual things. That's not the norm. And so you have people who are trying to use this and saying, this is the normal way today. And then taking it even further than just the handkerchief or the apron and saying you can have an anointed coin. Anointed chopsticks, anointed water, anointed oil, and on we could go. If I was a trickster, I could make a lot of money. Well, no, I couldn't, because I believe God would knock me out, amen, because I know better. Yeah, God would handle me, amen. I'd be too scared to even try something like that. I want to reiterate, this was a one-time event in the life of Paul, and everyone was healed. Everyone was delivered. That does not happen today. And I knew it. Because I had one of them. You know what I told you. No money was delivered unto me. You old saying, you're so broke you can't even pay attention? That was me. So now, after this event, this power was no longer available to the Apostle Paul or anybody. Look at me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Why don't we have you turn it? You know this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, Paul said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Paul had an infirmity in his flesh, which most, if not all, but most Bible scholars believe that it was some physical infirmity. I believe that too. Most Bible scholars would take that, and they debate about what it is, but most will say it's a physical infirmity. Paul couldn't heal himself. He prayed. Look at me in Philippians chapter 2. Excuse me, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And notice verse 25 down through verse 27. Philippians chapter 2, notice verse 25 down through verse 27. He said, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. Watch this. But I sent him an anointed handkerchief. No, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also. Lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. You know what y'all, you know what he's saying? He said when God healed him, he said it sure did me some good too. He said, man, my heart was burning. Sometimes when you see your brother going through and suffering, you know something, you feel that too. You understand what I'm saying? And Paul couldn't do a thing about it. God had to step in and move. And see, that way, God gets the glory. See, these things that you see, they bring glory to man. Paul wasn't looking for it. He didn't have that kind of power anymore. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 And notice verse 19 and verse number 20, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Notice verse 19 and verse number 20. It says, salute Prisca. That's another name for alternate writing for Priscilla and Aquila. And the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth. Watch this. But Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick. Don't you think that if Paul was flowing in the anointing, that was transferable, don't you think that he would have raised up Trophimus instead of just leaving him there at Miletus sick? In other words, he would have wanted him to go with him, but he couldn't, so he just had to leave him sick. See, Paul no longer had it. That was a one-time, special, unique thing that God did in his life, but he never did it again. So now when someone wants to send you a healing cloth, and by the way, I think you got it. I think you got it. When someone wants to send you a healing cloth or a blessed coin, realize God's not in there. He's not. That's somebody trying to get your money. That's all they want. When Marilyn Hickey says, send me $20 or $50 or more, and I'll send you a blessed handkerchief. You just remember, Jesus, Paul, or Peter never did that. Blessed cloths, not for today. Blessed coins, not for today. Blessed water, not for today. It's not. That's just ways that man's trying to use the Bible and add their own stuff to fleece people. It was for a sign to authenticate a man and his message. Today, we have the word of God to authenticate a man or his message. And by the way, that's exactly what I'm doing tonight. I'm using the word of God to authenticate a man and a message. We have the word of God. The Bible gives us certain qualifications. The Bible shows us things that we can try them who say they are apostles and are not and have found them liars. Thank God we've got the completed word of God today. And by the way, there are no present day apostles. I've already proven that from the Bible. But now everybody wants to be an apostle. There is apostle this person, apostle that person. You got a group come together and turn somebody into an apostle. In order to be an apostle, you would have had to, from the scripture, you had to have seen one of the qualifications. You had to have seen the risen Savior. I don't know anybody around here who's 2,000 years old. Yeah, amen. Believe it or not, I'm not just saying it. I was actually thinking that, but I didn't say it. And I'm serious. Paul didn't send these things out. They were taken from him. And then it was a one-time, unusual, extraordinary event. And there was no money that changed hands. They weren't charging. Paul didn't charge anybody. Peter didn't say, give me $696,000 and you can get under my shadow and get healed. No, he didn't say that. Paul didn't say, send me your best seed and you can receive this. Those spiritual crooks. And everyone who came into contact with what came off a pole was healed. Pardon my grammar, but that ain't happening today. This was a one-time unusual event as I get ready to close in the life of Paul. Now, I want you to think about it. People, the preachers, don't do this. There's something that happened in the Bible one time But I haven't seen one do it yet. But yet they'll do this. I haven't seen one yet to get on TV and maybe come out and open a door and grab this thing and bring it out and carry in a donkey. And bring a donkey up in front of the church, and then have some others to bring some donkeys up and get a bunch of donkeys up in front of the church. And then they begin to say something like this: bless God, hallelujah. God spoke to me, and God told me that I'm to start an anointed donkey ministry. God opened the mouth of a donkey, and that donkey was used to help save the life of the prophet in the Old Testament. Now you listen to me. Yeah, if you want God's blessings upon your life, here's what you've got to do. Because we put a lot of time and a lot of sweat and a lot of prayer into these donkeys. And if you want your talking donkey, then I want you to go clean out your bank account. I want you to send me your best gift. I'm telling you, I'm in the book. It's in the Bible. The donkey spoke. And if you will send me your best gift, God will anoint this donkey and we'll send it to you. And by the way, send us enough so that we can ship it to you. And by the way, if you're real generous, we'll ship you another one. You just pay the postage and handling and we'll ship you two. Because somebody else in your family is going to need what this donkey can provide. Because, see, this donkey is going to be able to lead you out of danger when you can't see things that are before you. This donkey, I feel something, y'all. This donkey, he'll be able to see the unseen world and steer you in the right direction. I'm in the book. This donkey, all you've got to do is just sow your best seed, and we'll pray over these donkeys. Anytime you need some help, anytime you need direction in your life, release in your life, anytime you need protection in your life, sometimes you may have some questions about something because the prophet has some questions about something. And sometimes God will just open up things you're not even wondering about. Sometimes you're confused and all of a sudden God will use that donkey and open up some things to you. Sometimes that donkey might stop you and you might get mad, but he's protecting you. How many of y'all need protection? You understand what I'm saying? You see, that's crazy. That's ludicrous. This is the same thing. That was a one-time event where a donkey talked. You don't take that and start an anointed donkey ministry. And you don't do that with handkerchiefs either. I think you've got it. Let's not let anybody cause us to go down the wrong path. Keep your money. Jehovah Rapha still heals. You a believer priest. You can go straight to him and talk to him. You don't have to pay anybody a dime. Jesus is your Savior. He's your Lord. He can touch you and heal you. Let's bow for prayer.